Oh, oh.
Yeah.
No! Oh, come on! No and way! Then oh!
They weren't ready.
Yes, they were.
Sometimes.
Hi, this is Howie Mandel Does Stuff. I'm Howie Mandel.
I'm Jacqueline Schultz.
My daughter, and we have Ari. Is it Shafir?
Shafir.
Shafir.
Yeah, my dad made it up anyway, so you can't really.
What do you mean
really
your dad made it up?
It was after the war. He thought his name was too German sounding, so he changed it. It was like Spitzer, something like that.
Right, but traditionally the Jews would, if they were, pardon me?
There we go. Go ahead. The Jews, traditionally, yeah.
That's like Chappelle the other night said, nobody, you can't put those two words together, the and Jew, right? Because nothing good comes from it, which I thought was a great, but traditionally we Jews, if we were going to change our name, we went for more of a kind of a, not a Jewy name, but it seems like he made your name even more Jewy.
More Jewy, less German, more Jewy, because he moved to Israel. That's why it was cool. It's cool to be Jewish in Israel.
But you grew up here.
Yeah, in America. I was born in New York, home of the Jews.
Home of the Jews.
Yeah.
People don't.
Probably number one in the world.
And so I should tell you, I'm a.
Where'd you go? Toronto?
I did.
A lot of Jews there.
There are Jews everywhere. People don't know that.
People don't know it. No. Spread.
Especially when you're from Canada. People go, you know, I would. I'll tell you a quick Jew story in just a second. But I lost my father in 1989. Really? And I went and said Kaddish. For which is the prayer that you say after somebody dies for a year, you go and you say you have to go do this prayer. I did it because I was just observing. My father was much more observant than I am. So I wrote it into my contract to wherever I played. At that time, I was doing like 200-300 live dates a year.
Damn.
And I wasn't allowed to go they couldn't even, in the summer, they couldn't have me on stage before sundown because I had to do Mincha and Maariv. I had to do the prayer before.
You, yeah.
Yeah, but wherever I go, and they had to find me a minion, which is, you have to have 10 Jews.
God won't hear your prayers unless you get 9 other men around you.
Only men, and well, no offense. You couldn't even have women. You could have a tree over a woman.
What if there's 9 men and 6,000 women? Nice try. She's not doing it for God.
But all over the like in Oklahoma and wherever I had to go, they had to find
a minion for you.
They had to find this place where I could go do this thing.
Yeah.
And then sometimes they didn't have one, or I would go to a funeral. I'd go to like somebody's house, you know, and I'd be amongst these strangers and they'd send me with a little bag of herring back to my show. And what was the point
of
this?
Eat.
I don't know. You just want to.
What was it?
Oh, there's Jews everywhere.
Because you'll find Jews everywhere. Yeah.
Yes. So the point was, they'd say, where are you from? And I'd always say Toronto. And I can't tell you how many times they would go, there's Jews there?
Maybe not in Saskatoon, but probably a couple in Saskatoon as well.
I would imagine there are.
We're everywhere.
Yes. But anyway, I found you, we'll talk about what you do now. Jew is the name of the new
special.
Show. The new special, which is just blowing up, unbelievable. Within like a week, he had over 3 million clicks on it. Am I exaggerating?
It's crazy, dude. The numbers are nutty.
Nutty.
Yeah, over 3 million.
Over 3 million clicks on YouTube. You got to see it. The Jew. You're brilliant in it. It's great. It's also kind of, he's blazing a new trail. I don't know if you're the first, but you're one of the new comedy trailblazers in the sense of not going to Netflix or Amazon or Comedy Central and kind of just digital busking, for lack of a better term, you know, where he
That's
just
a good way to put it.
Is it?
Yeah, digital busking. I like it.
Yes, it is. It's digital busking because he puts it online for free, and it is. I will tell you, aside from you're a great monologist, and that it's really really good production. It's not like you just set up and...
I didn't want to cheap out on it.
You didn't?
No. That's that background behind you that Lauren Halpern made, also Jewish. It's like, let's go for it, guys. I don't have kids. I got a dog. Dog food doesn't cost that much. So
you spent money.
Yeah, I spent a lot of
candles.
Money. I'm friends with some buskers, this band, the Pink Louds, and they have this theory that like you put on a good show, people throw some money into your bucket. So... you know, I want to put on the best show I could.
And people are throwing money.
People are giving me back. It's great.
Are you making a lot of money on that?
No, but I'm getting closer to breaking even.
Was it always your idea to go straight to YouTube, or were you trying to?
Yeah, I didn't offer it to anybody else.
You really didn't?
My last special was Netflix. The one before that was Comedy Central. I made them both myself, and then sold them to those companies. This one, I didn't even show it to anybody.
What was the thought process behind that?
I want people to see it. This is gonna be the best thing I ever did. In the end of my career, I'll look back. I'm like, this will be the best one. And I wanted
really. You don't think you got something coming in the future that's going
to
be better?
I'm tired.
You're done.
You don't want to do another one?
I do, but I had so much mental work living with this ghost who's not even around anymore. This guy who used to be an Orthodox Jew and trying to like not be in the present. It was so hard mentally. So I'll do it more specials, but not like this.
Do you find that out of all your specials, because the context of what this is that this guy that kind of moved away from however you were raised or trained or whatever is closer to you than anything else you've ever done?
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's opening up a lot too, but it's like, I'm not this guy anymore.
You're not what guy?
This Orthodox Jew, this guy who's never had sex, this guy who's never done things.
But hasn't that always
cheeseburger?
Been... Hasn't that always been part of your...
No, I live in the now. Mostly I live in the now. Can you believe what I did yesterday? I hooked up with some chick with herpes. I just went slow so I wouldn't get it. You know, it's like that's like a current... I'm talking about a current guy who's still alive. And this was a 5,000-year-old joke. So cathartic. It was like, got it all off my chest.
Here's the other thing that surprised me. So I wasn't surprised by the content. I wasn't surprised by... your ability to do this. I'm surprised that you're not getting at least I don't know if you have a filter on the comments, but it's predominantly positive.
Yeah, it's kind of nuts. People are like, I've never gotten this comment before. Showed this to my dad and we both laughed.
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So are you surprised by the reception?
The percentage of positivity on the internet, which is like not that positive a place, is wild.
And not only on the internet, but you are really Jew.
Yeah.
Right away, you know.
I thought more Jews would be upset by it. I was trying to cross my T's and dot my I's so that they wouldn't be, but I would still expect people to go, well, this might bring about hate, even though it was all in a loving way.
How did you get Kanye to promote it like he did?
So we had a nice talk. I'm going to need you to cut this out. We had a nice long talk ahead of time. And I was like, Kanye, he goes, I'm thinking of spouting off about the Armenians. I was like, let me pitch you something else.
Yeah.
Let me pitch you Jews.
Yes.
You know a lot of us.
I was going to call the special DEFCON 3.
Yeah. I'm like, no Armenian's going to write a blog about you. We write, man. We will write. We'll extend your stuff.
But I'm in these times that we live in now.
Yeah.
I'm bowled over. It's like I don't really understand. I'm enjoying that there is no the amount of negativity that doesn't exist.
What do you mean?
Because I believe. Listen, I'm old school. I'm old, but and I live in fear, and part of it is my culture.
Yeah.
But you know
part of who we are.
Yes.
Constantly being in fear of everything.
Well,
going
I don't
wrong.
Sense that from you.
Yeah.
But the point is
cut out.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is I live in fear. I also work for the man. You know, I love doing America's Got Talent. I have sponsors. I have I was cognizant of people who I loved getting canceled, getting hurt, disappearing. Yeah. In this new wave of you and Bill Burrs and people like that, I'm fascinated by the fact that it seems like comedy is stronger than ever. When I was spouting maybe a month ago that I thought it was dead, but there's a life that exists in your...
There's a misconception. So there are people like, I hate this. I mean, when you were a club comic coming up,
right?
You would have occasionally, I'm sure, maybe not for Bobby, but like you would have an out there joke that would get somebody upset.
Right.
And they'd leave angry.
Right.
And they'd be like, that's just terrible. And they'd leave angry. They're dorks. And everybody who remains there, let's say it's a 300 person yuck yucks. Two people left, 298 laugh at them and get back into it. And we're so worried about those two. But that's not most of us. People going to clubs are the 298. But they're stronger than ever. Everybody, every dork that walks out angry or says, we got to ban this, just makes the people there even stronger, even like it even more.
But not this is not comparable, but I will give you another example. I was a huge fan of Jackie Mason.
Yeah.
Are you a fan of, but Jackie Mason's biggest detractors were Jews.
Yeah.
because
so
they
you're
would,
not being pro-Israel enough. You're not doing this right.
Well, and also you're feeding into the tropes, right? You're mm-hmm. feeding into that. You know, he would walk. His whole thing was about, and I loved it because I'd go, oh my God, that's me. That's exactly right. Like he'd come out 5 minutes late, and he goes, the reason I'm 5 minutes late because I know most of you are Jews, and what you're doing is you're taking your ticket price, you're counting the seats, and you're trying to figure out how much I'm making. Right? And I had just finished counting the seats, multiplying by the amount, and he kind of knew that, but by the same token...
You're like, damn, you got us on that one. And he did it with that voice, too. You yeah. get to the seats. You know?
Yeah, that's like, it. When a Jew goes into a restaurant, he's not a customer, he's a partner. I want you to make the eggs, but not the way you make the eggs. You'll make the eggs, but not the whites, and take the shell. But that's how he talked. But his biggest detractors,
yeah.
you know, and I find that even... with black comics, sometimes they get more heat from their own culture than they do from even the outside world yeah. because
Rock's best special, it was like, I'm sure there was tons of black, don't say that, don't say the difference between N-words and black people, how dare you,
right?
And it's like, what do you mean I'm gonna comment on who we are?
But the Jews aren't coming at you, or do they?
I was actually thinking about it, I was like, probably something the best press I'll get is a few Jews publications hating this and getting a conversation going, especially because YouTube works on an algorithm. The more people talk about stuff, the more it'll get like shown to people. It hasn't happened. I assumed it would.
Not only
and you
has
didn't
it
care
not-
though. You didn't care, right? Because or did you care?
I
you
want
said
everyone
you dotted-
to like my stuff. But when people do leave angry, that is also enjoyable. But I dotted my T's, I crossed my I's. Every time there's an Orthodox Jewish woman in the crowd, frontier mm-hmm. Jews, I call them. You know, the Hasidic people that will go to comedy clubs, I'll keep an eye on them. I'm like, how are you liking this joke about wigs? You know, I don't do it right at them, but I'll just keep my eye on see how they're, and they're loving it. They're like, someone's speaking about our experience.
But unlike specials of the 80s and 90s and that, yeah. you didn't, it was a great room. I love the way it was lit, and I love the candles, and I love the look, but you didn't really show, you didn't, old school cuts to an audience member laughing.
Don't like it.
No, I noticed
yeah.
it. So who was that audience? Were they predominantly Jew?
No, predominantly not. And I toured this all over the world. And I made sure to do this special in this hour in places where there's lots of Jews, like Vancouver and Toronto and Boston and Chicago and then Save New York, you know, but also in places like Perth, Australia or Reykjavik, where they don't even know what they are. They're like, I think I've heard of Jews. They don't know any of the stereotypes. So when you're in New York and Hanukkah comes around, It's on TV, on commercials, like Happy Hanukkah to all Jewish friends. Everyone's aware of it. They see the menorahs out. So you could do a joke about it for 3 weeks. Literally, everybody's aware of it. Passover, everybody's aware of it. But in places like Perth, in places like Saskatchewan, they're like, what is this? So you have to really make it like viable to people who don't have the backstory. And go ahead.
I remember though listening to like Chappelle talking about the moment that he didn't want to do the Chappelle show anymore, and it was because he looked out in the audience and he saw someone laughing, and he knew they weren't laughing at the joke.
Right.
Like they were laughing at something they shouldn't be laughing
yeah,
at.
Yeah, if I got people in my audience going like, look at this horn, that would be troubling.
So like you weren't concerned taking it to, like seeing that in your audience laughing at perhaps being
the wrong stuff?
Yeah.
Good question. Smart question from a Jewish woman. listen, when I would see Sarah Silverman making like race-based jokes,
mm-hmm.
it is funny because she's a very liberal, non-racist person. There are some like, oh no, she didn't laughs at hearing a racist joke. That's mm-hmm. also part of the laugh she's getting. And that's part of the laughs I'm getting too. But it's also inclusive. We had a friend with cerebral palsy. And when he fell, we wouldn't go, oh my God, he's fallen. It's so sad. It's like, we're gonna mock you for that. And when they see me taking a doggy bag, they're gonna mock me for, you know, as a Jew doing that. And it's a way of inclusivity, is to make fun of our differences. So yeah, there might be some of that, the wrong kind of laughs. As long as it doesn't get overbearing, I don't see a problem with it.
You know, I'm very, my biggest, my hero, my comedy hero is Richard Pryor. And when I didn't understand comedy, I came out here in the 70s and I would watch him go. Yeah, it was amazing. And I would go to the Comedy Store each and every night and watch him put together Live on the Sunset Strip, which I think is, you know, the seminal piece of art that a lot of people live today because of. And the thing was that he was on the stage. He had just finished freebasing. He just got out of the hospital. He had the bandages on. He was making fun of the drug use. And you have to, the context of the time versus that. And I never saw anybody do that before. And I never saw anybody, you know, that was the first time I realized why, when I looked at, if you passed the theater and you saw those two masks of tragedy and comedy together and how close they really are.
Yeah.
And I realized with my own struggles that I've always used comedy to kind of bridge. There isn't a difference. There's no such thing as too soon. There's no such thing. We got to find
too soon for some, and not for others. I saw Jeff Ross doing a. This really helped shape me a long time ago. I saw Jeff Ross 10 years ago doing a, think a Columbine joke. He got a couple oohs from the audience at the Cellar, and he's like, you know, he just too soon. And I remember, and the crowd laughed, you know, because it had been 15 years. And I just remember for myself going, no, way too late. I want to hear it the next day. I'm a degenerate, you know.
I like the darkness. Or is that the sense of humor? I always say humor comes from darkness. You know, yeah. Even we're taught, even as a little kid, if you go to the circus and you see a clown falling down, you're laughing at somebody else's misfortune. You have to, in the moment, you can't laugh about it a day later. You got to laugh in the moment.
Right.
And then there was that Holocaust movie that was called, I can't remember, where he was making his son laugh. A Beautiful Life?
Something like that.
Yeah. So the point is you need to, and then Gilbert Gottfried famously, you know, did the 9/11 joke at the first time they had the roast right after. So purists in comedy know that too soon doesn't.
Gottfried's the best. Guys, anytime you can see Gilbert Gottfried on the road, go check out his tour schedule and go see that guy. He's great. Never miss a chance.
Anyway, you know, it's uncomfortable now. Anyway, the thing is that.
Was that one too soon for you?
I don't know. Speaking of too soon. So congratulations on all this success.
Thank
so
you.
What is next? You're saying, I wasn't going to ask you anything like this, but you did this. You feel like you've climbed that mountain and now you're tired. What are you going to do?
More stand-up. Less themey.
Just not as good. You said it's going to be the best.
It just won't be as heady.
How is your family with this?
They're great. I was a little worried about that too, but
because they're still
they've come to
practicing,
see it.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah,
observant.
It's reverential. The special is reverential to Jews. Though I do make fun of them sometimes. I'm constantly shitting on non-Jews, calling them shifty, trying to like retake the words that they use for us. Trying to be pompous about how we're so much smarter than them and be like, in my community, we're looking down on you. I know you guys are looking down on us, but that's a two-way street. Take the power back.
Are you concerned? So like, are you concerned at all about, and I don't know that you can be concerned, but people who don't have a good sense of humor or don't.
They're dorks, dude. We can't be concerned with them. They're
no,
dorks.
But those dorks.
Yeah, they get in the way of our money, for sure. You ever read The Fountainhead?
No.
It's a book about artists in general. The artists she chose is architects, but it's about every one of them. Comics, musicians, whatever. And this guy comes into a lot of fire. It's cancel culture from like the 40s, 50s. It's Ayn Rand. And this pure artist that none of us can achieve, this 100 percentile, he's like, they can't stop me from being an architect. They can stop me from getting jobs, but I'll work in a fucking rock quarry and help get the rocks that go into buildings. They can just hurt our money. They can't stop us from, they can move us from theaters to clubs or from clubs to fucking workout rooms like the Store or the Cellar. And from workout rooms, if they take, then we'll go to open mics, but we're not going to stop being stand-ups. And that's the only thing that matters. The rest is just fucking cherries.
And then the other concern is, do you think people take some of this material that without a sense of humor and build upon the, anti-Semitism and hatred that they have, or you can't be concerned about that.
Nah, yeah, I'm more concerned with all the positive comments that are just like this.
I like
is
that.
Hilarious.
No, that's what you got to focus on.
Yeah.
Your parents,
Orthodox Jews. Still.
Did they come around? How did that come to be? Like, how could they come around to?
They're pissed when I left.
In the special, you talk about how you just woke up one day and you didn't believe in God.
Yeah.
Is that really, was it an epiphany or was it a slow burn?
It was a thought I had that I'm like, I don't think I believe. And when I really thought about it, I was like, I wasn't going to like slowly fade away. I was like, I'm going to make a decision. I'm going to stay in this until I've decided that I'm out. It's like, you don't break up with a chick when you first start thinking like, maybe there's chinks in the armor. You really think it over and they're like, let's break up. the wrong way to do it is to, you know, slowly cheat until like you get divided. But like, I thought and thought and thought, and then I talked to my friends at Yeshiva University, and I was like, I think I'm out. One of my friends like, then go throw the Torah on the floor if you're so sure. I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that to you.
You have
guys.
A line, you draw a line.
Yeah, I'm like, that's rude to you. I'm not going to do that. But then I made a decision, and I talked about it in the special. I was like, went and I was like, I'm done. So let's go get some Taco Bell.
But what were the moments where you're like, maybe not? Oh no, I really don't think that I believe in, like, what?
Yeah,
were
it wasn't
those...
like there is no God. It was more like there's no belief inside of me for God.
Okay, we're in a commercial now, and can I just say before we start reading this commercial, you look fabulous.
I knew you were going to say that.
How did you know I was going to say that?
Because I'm wearing my Shady Rays.
Yeah. But you know what? They're not only looking good, they have this protection program that if you don't, you know, if you break them or you don't like them or you lose them, they give you replacements.
Yeah. Plus, they're not super expensive, too. You don't have to break them in.
Everything. There's no reason not to be wearing Shady Rays.
I love my Shady Rays. You know, I just ordered two more pairs, too.
Yeah. And so, even that goes for, like, if you order them and you get them and then you don't like the style on your face, you could return them. That's just it's just the easiest people to deal with. This is a great idea for the holidays.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
Because... Why is it a great idea for the holidays?
Because the lost and broken coverage transfers to anyone that you gift them to.
So if they don't like it, it's not even about regifting. If they don't like the shape, but they want sunglasses, they could return them and get what they like. There are so many choices.
They'll get great polarized glasses like these ones. Look how cool they are.
And we have a promotion. You know what the promotion is?
What?
Shady Rays are like not only a great holiday gift, but you act now for their best Black Friday selection. Okay, it's still a Black Friday selection, even though Black Friday was a couple of days ago. Okay?
You can redeem only at ShadyRays.com, where you can find all their newest and best shades. So all you have to do is go to ShadyRays.com and shop their Black Friday selections.
That's all you got to do. Do it. Back to the pod.
But there has to be, like, stuff that happened in your
I had a thought where life. I was torn apart by, like, you can't use electricity on the Sabbath. On Shabbat, and I was like gonna like turn off a light, and then I didn't do it because I was gonna get caught by people. But it got in my head. I'm like, why would I be concerned with people getting me in trouble when it's not their law? It's God's law. So just because people aren't looking, that shouldn't be what decides whether or not I do this evil thing. I'll compare it to, like, you know, your parents wouldn't be happy if you're masturbating. So if your dad's in the room, you're not gonna start jerking off for your dad, you know? And if he's like, what are you doing? You're gonna be like, oh my God, I didn't know you were real. Like, you know he's real, so you wouldn't do it when he's there. You have no part of you that doesn't think Howie Mandel is real, even though you don't share the last name.
She's married.
Oh, what a fucking idiot I am. I was like, is your real last name Schultz? What a moron I am. God damn, idiot. So anyway.
She's married to a non-Jew.
Yes.
Name Schultz?
Yeah.
Germany.
Nice, bro. Way to get out without really getting out.
I got a more Jewish last name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or it could be German.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, he's Catholic.
Yeah.
It's so funny the German names and the Jewish names overlap, but it really caused a lot of conflict.
Yeah. It is funny.
So I didn't have the belief. I thought about it. I was like, I guess I don't believe if I'm willing to do this, if people are the only ones stopping me.
But culturally...
We're still there.
But
this
culturally,
is still real.
No, but and our life fluid, especially as a child, is guilt. You know what I mean? Not only for God or that, but you know, a Jewish mom goes, "Okay, you go, I'll stay. You eat, I'll starve. You do."
So they want to suffer. It's
right,
so crazy.
But to make that move, will you not drown in?
Yeah, I had a lot of guilt for sure. That's the thing. I was talking to my former friend, who was a former still friend, who was a former Jehovah. And I was like, dude, what we have in us, what we can't get out of us, is just a politeness. When we see a woman, old lady behind us, we're going to hold the door open for them. I don't go to synagogue anymore, but that shit in the inside is still there. You know, former Christians are the same way. I was kind of hoping to do that with this special, where, like, hopefully everybody can see the, you know, the universal, like, ideas in this.
I believe that that's really clear, and I believe that that is why, you know, not only was I reading the comments, but I was reading who the comments were coming from, and it wasn't all Jews.
Yeah.
It was everybody that kind of got it, and I was amazed at how they got it and how deep they were taking it. You know, so
well, isn't that like the like I remember watching Big Fat Greek Wedding, and I'm not Greek, and it's like the same thing. There is a whole bunch of people from different cultures that say, "Oh, we relate to that too,"
we
and
relate,
it hits
exactly.
so many different people.
But if you watch this,
similar. Yeah.
But this special was not only a comedy special; it was like a thesis. You know, it was because he, at the same time as telling the jokes, he had to educate you as far as, you know. What it says in what is the Talmud, and this is the rule that we go by, and this is why I believe this rule is silly.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like your rule in your thing when you do this. So he kind of he made something that was very specific, incredibly widely inclusive.
Yeah, you could go, my mom is too overbearing, and then everyone could be like, my mom too. You don't have to go, I'm the only one that has this. You know, you can relate to it if you go specific enough. You don't have to go, men do this, women do this. You can say, I would always throw my shirt in the dryer and call it clean. And then be like, oh, me too. I'm a man. Oh, my husband does that.
Is it true that, because I always thought it was true, Hasidic Jews, it's not true that they screw through the sheet?
Dude, yeah, I found out. I was wrong too.
Where did that, what? That's what I learned. You know that? You've heard Hasidic Jews?
Yeah.
I found out during this, my friend came to see me do this hour. And he's like, you're off. You're wrong. And I'm like, no way. That's 100% right. Literally, I thought it until 2 years ago. And I'm like, it's 100%
right.
So
if you haven't heard it.
The Jews fuck through a sheet.
Really Orthodox Jews will.
Have you heard that?
Have you guys heard
that? But maybe they do because there's people like you and like me that are raised like that. And they're just like this, I guess this is what they're supposed to do.
Yeah. It's like, well, that way you don't get distracted. And it's just wrong. It's just racist.
But the point is, if you would have met like a Hasidic girl and took her home on a first date, like, and if you didn't find out 2 years ago, you would go, I'm going to go get into
something. I'll get the
sheet. Yeah, right.
It's a little more comfortable. That's right.
Yeah. And then you come out with the sheet with the just looking and go, hello. And you look through the hole and she's
like, what are you doing? Like,
but I bet you women
Jews
think that.
Version of a glory hole.
That's what he said.
It's a walking.
You got to watch the special. Okay. You'll love it. See, she's a good writer too, but he used that joke. That's his joke.
All right. Walking great minds think alike.
Yeah, exactly.
But I used to think if he lived next to Orthodox Jews on Halloween, all of them dressed up as one-eyed, crusty-eyed ghosts. They took it. They got pink eye. It's a ghost pink with eye. Pink eye. A cyclops ghost with pink eye. Yeah, I borrowed bad sheet.
Who used my sheet?
And everybody is still Orthodox in your family.
Yeah, my brother's not. My brother's out too. That helped. That helped me a lot.
Before you?
Before me? No, after me.
So were you the catalyst?
He married a non-Jew, so it was like,
wow,
sweet.
Wait.
Yeah, so they're all off my back. They all have kids, too.
And I noticed you have tats, too. So you're not even going to be buried with your family.
That's a lie.
What do you mean
that's a lie?
That's
a lie, too?
It's a made-up thing.
That's what you told me growing up and why I wasn't allowed to get tattoos.
It comes from fucking guilt-ridden moms who don't want their kids getting tattoos.
Did you see that Curb Your Enthusiasm, though? Do you watch Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Yeah, I love it.
Oh,
yeah,
no,
me too.
He just beat out Jesus' number one Jew.
Right, Larry Larry comes home and they go, your mother was sick. Why didn't you tell me? We thought you were busy and she's in the hospital. What hospital? She's not there anymore. Why didn't you tell me? We thought you were busy. And then she ended up dying. Remember? Did you see
that one?
He comes home, his mother had died. She was sick. She'd been in the hospital. He was in New York doing a movie.
Oh, yeah. And they wouldn't tell him. He's like, why wouldn't you tell me?
So he goes, where's she buried? He goes to the cemetery. And he's looking for a stone, and they're going, where is my mother? And she's on the other side of the fence. Why would you put my mother there? Because she had a tattoo on her ass.
It's not a real thing.
It isn't.
No, there's a law, there's a commandment to, you have to bury a dead body when you come across them. That's it. The idea of a Jewish cemetery is a made-up thing. That's just cultural. That has nothing to do with the law.
Wow.
If I see one fucking worthless goys out there dead, or if I see you dead, this commandment's the same. You got to bury them.
Jeremy, did you hear what he called you? Jeremy?
Worthless goy?
That's right.
That's you.
Disgusting half-wits.
You can't say that. Now, do you not get backlash for that?
Nah. It's tongue in cheek. Yeah. I don't know. These people aren't able to form full sentences. How could they do backlash?
Oh, my God.
Do they even matriculate from a university?
I'm not. You can't laugh. I don't know what to do. I'm uncomfortable with this. But that's what I find amazing. I'm really uncomfortable with this.
Yeah. I like stirring the pot.
You're really stirring the pot, and I want to. Speaking of stirring the pot, the other day I'm friends.
If we couldn't get buried in Jewish cemetery because of these, then what about these? None of those people got buried in Jewish cemetery.
He's pointing.
If you watch on YouTube, the numbers on the Holocaust, the numbers that they tattooed on us. Yeah.
But that's different. That would be the exception. I thought. No.
They're okay with numbers. It's dragons and flowers.
As long as you can.
They don't like dragons. And
what is that?
That's a flower. It's a flower I used to see in the Amazon a lot.
It's a flower.
Wait, that's that's what you got?
Yeah, I was in Ecuador for 6 months. I would always see this flower. I loved it. So when I got back, I was like,
when I was 16, I wanted a hibiscus on my lower back.
Yeah,
that's
a tramp stamp.
Like the equivalent.
Yeah, I'm a basic bitch.
Yeah.
So you saw a flower in the Amazon and you went, just put it on my arm here. I put it in my armpit.
It was that or a condor. That's all I loved in Ecuador.
And why did you choose the flower over the condor?
I don't know. It just got in my head.
Do you have something? Do you have another tattoo or is that it?
I have a tattoo of a smaller dick right next to my dick to make my dick look bigger.
Do you?
No.
Thank God you said no. Because she would have went, show me.
Show me. No, I think
and then it'd be
amazing.
Uncomfortable.
I'm sitting in the room.
Yes.
Very odd.
Yeah.
2 days in a row. First, John Lovitz yesterday wanted to show me his lizard.
Okay.
Then, Oh, boy.
I was online yesterday and I.
I've been online.
Yeah. The World Wide Web. Have you heard of it?
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. And my friend Bobby Lee got hacked.
I was with him.
I know. Well, put it up, Jen.
It had to be from porn.
What?
How do you get hacked?
Explain this to me.
Hey, everybody. My Twitter got hacked. So,
Twitter got hacked.
Elon, I texted Lex Friedman, respond. I need help, you know, and whoever the fool who did the Twitter. Help me out, man.
It's a loving embrace between two people who share a common
Yeah, but if
bond.
You notice right at the end of it, like I think, are you doing a bit? At the end, you stay too long and you can hear
him.
He goes, "Kay."
Okay, yeah, Kay. You have to like re-edit that to get rid of the K. He was pretty just like soft filming.
Because your forearm is resting comfortably on his penis.
It's a small yet welcoming area.
You saw that and you said you wanted to recreate that today,
First of all,
Dad?
No.
No.
No, but
Germaphobe Central is going to have me cuddle on his chest.
But why are two of you, so for those who are just listening, this was a post. This was a Bobby Lee post.
He had been hacked. His Twitter got hacked. He didn't know what to do. And his friends were like, make a post on Instagram to let everybody know. Don't send me money if I ask for money.
Okay. But he's sitting on a couch in his underpants.
Bobby and I go back to the dark days of the Comedy Store.
You were in your underpants too.
Constantly doing. We're like, oh, let's make a video. We're both like, get naked. I'm like, yeah, get naked. And then he goes, oh, hold on, underwear on.
Oh wait, there was a version before.
Bobby is in such a in between state between the industry, like you say, like you want to honor Crest is giving you money to say open that fucking briefcase, you know?
Right.
So don't be a complete animal.
Right.
Bobby's 1 foot in there and 1 foot in the animal world. And I went to his podcast once a long time ago and I brought some candy bars and I put them in the freezer when I got there. We were talking for a while and he was like, you know, I can't do certain things because I'm on an ABC show. And I was like, but Bobby, I know who you are. You're a Comedy Store animal. And he's like, what are the candy bars for, Ari? And I'm like, you know what the candy bars are for, Bob? And he goes, no, we're not doing that. I'm like, Bobby, I know who you are. And he goes, I'm on ABC, Ari. And I'm like, you're going to put these candy bars up your butt. And he goes, no, I can't. I'm on American Broadcasting Company. And I'm like, Bobby, you are a Comedy Store comic. And he goes, fine, I'll put him up my butt, but I got to do it right in your face. And I'm like, all right, well played. That's going to hurt me. And he spread his cheeks and we put Twix bars up his butt.
No, you did not.
Yeah.
Where is that? Is that taped?
Funny. Yeah, it's on YouTube somewhere.
Yeah.
Is it really?
Let's
look at that.
What would it be under? Ari shoves Twix bars up.
He shoved it himself. I was just, he just
put
it right
in my face.
But you, you actually, you went to a, you actually,
I brought Twix bar and I brought a Snickers to see how much he'd want to go for it.
So you planned this.
What goes first, the Snickers or that, is this it?
Yeah.
Play it, I want to see what.
This time the old days. Hey, can you do me a favor? Can you go to the fridge, to the freezer, and get the candy bars I had in there? I put some candy bars in there.
You had this in mind. How did
today where sorry, you John. And Stevie were,
like, I don't even work here.
Were putting candy bars up your asshole.
Yeah, everyone.
Yeah, there's a photo of that.
Those are the good old days.
Yeah, him and his brother.
Let's get these candy bars out. Not filmed. This is before podcasting.
Okay, keep going. Keep going. Don't stop it.
Well, how long
have I been? First of all, I'm on an ABC show now. I'm not sticking fake candy bars.
Yeah, you are, man. I brought it here for old times.
We'll talk about it.
Yeah, you're going to put candy bars in your butt.
So you had seen him do this.
I went over to his house one day, and I'm like, what are you guys doing? And they're like, we're just challenging each other.
I was hoping for like a mini.
Okay. Okay.
Can I just different say I don't know which one.
Look at him realize who he is.
Okay, yeah. Can I say this, okay? I swore to God, I'm not sticking fucking candy bars in my butt.
Yeah, you are.
Now, why would you do this?
Because that's who you are, Bobby. This is who you are.
I'm different.
This is who you are.
I'm different.
You're not hateful anymore.
Yeah, yeah,
but you're still the guy who sticks candy bars
in my butt. I'm not sticking candy bars
in my butt. I'm not saying go
all the way. Can you go fast forward?
I'm trying to pull them back out.
How about this? Oh, you know what? I will stick it in my butt. You know why?
Oh, great, great.
I can edit this thing.
Hey, sweetie.
You can also...
Wait, I can, Bobby, Bobby.
Oh, no, no. Are you kidding me?
This is a lube. It's a lube. Bobby, come on. Oh, shit.
Oh, no.
Bobby, be careful. Slowly. Slowly.
I'm not sticking it in. You want to smell it?
Oh, my God.
You want to smell it?
No, first stick it in. If you stick it, I'll smell it.
Smell it.
If you stick it in, I'll smell it.
You got to check.
Smell it. All right, smell it too.
This is the most disgusting thing I've ever seen in my life.
This is so ridiculous.
Smell it. This. Oh my gosh.
It smells like chocolate.
It does smell like chocolate.
Put it in. You have a clean.
All right, all right, all right, all right. All right. Enough. 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 Jen, turn it off.
Look at that face.
Oh my gosh. Are you kidding me?
Dude.
Oh my God. Oh, that's the most bizarre, uncomfortable.
This is why you're sticking with YouTube and not like Netflix or something else, because you want to continue to do this.
That's so fucking uncomfortable.
If we did this now and I was on Netflix, I'd be like, we're pulling your special down, man. We can't have
what year did you do that?
Well, you can look at the...
Probably 3, 4, 5 years
what,
ago.
What year is that, Jen? Or what year is that?
It's pre-COVID.
How many clicks does that have?
Oh.
It should have all the clicks.
All the clicks.
How many clicks does that one have?
40,000.
5 years ago.
40,000 clicks.
Oh.
It's not even 100.
Not even a million.
You have 3 million in a week on your special. You got 40,000 clicks for putting a Twix and a Snickers bar up Bobby Lee's
Dude,
butt.
Mitzi left the store. So there was nobody overseeing our just freestyle, like growing into who we are as comedians. She was gone. She came in occasionally.
What does that have to do with the Comedy Store?
We became animals. We became a dog that you just left food out and never came back to. We made our own society. It was a wild time. And when I got there,
that's part
Bobby was running it. It was just, we were created in this weird image of a leaderless society. And we created that kind of humor.
This is not where I expected this thing to go. It started with like a hug, two men in their underpants hugging each other, and then you took it to chocolate bars up the ass. I'm speechless.
The funniest guy in the world.
Oh my God.
You see the look in his face? I'm like, you are doing it. He's like, no, fine. Okay, he's just so fast.
I love how you talked him into doing it, and he goes, smell it. It's just the most ridiculous. And it's only.
It doesn't look like there was that much editing either.
Could you read some of the comments?
No, it really
did. Look at the comments on it, because I want to compare the.
Yeah, compare the comments of that to my special.
And then put up the Jew, and I'll read the comments, and you have to tell me whether the comment is from the Jew special or the comment is from
Bobby Snickers
chocolate bars up the ass.
Oh, here's comments.
We need Snickers as a sponsor.
Read the ones that don't say Bobby in it.
Okay. A master class in Peer Pressure by Ari Shaffir. Well, that's,
there you know.
Well, that yeah. one you know.
Yeah, Masterclass could have gone either way, but yeah. the Peer Pressure. Yeah.
Peer Pressure. I you never think that peer pressure hits you right in the anus. Yeah. I feel the pressure. I feel the pressure. And why Snickers and Twix?
Snickers are the smoothest, easiest ones to go in. They're small. They're small candy bars. That's me being a friend.
And they're more like
wait,
round.
Wait, they're the smoothest going in.
Yeah, and they're small.
Oh, no,
they,
you could have done.
You know what bothers me? You've ruined Halloween for a lot of
people. Payday? A payday would have been painful.
No, what's a Tootsie Roll?
I mean, then what are we even doing?
Yeah.
I mean, it's
there's
like,
different sizes.
It's like an outline.
No, there's yeah. different sizes. Tootsie
you know how
rolls.
Uncomfortable I am that you're here, Ari, discussing with my daughter what goes up the ass easier?
Yeah,
the Tootsie Roll or the sweater? What? Hershey Kiss.
Did you see recently? This is another.
Recently?
Recently, that a jump rope was found in someone's bladder because they stuck it too far up their urethra. And they had to go get it out.
A jump rope.
A jump
rope. Well, sometimes you want to go, you and your friend want to skip rope, mm-hmm. and there's only three of you there. Right? Right? Well, that doesn't
there's
work.
There's only two of you.
Hands free. I want to.
That's right.
Yes, you put it. I don't believe that
well,
story.
Up your
no.
urethra. How could you get
no,
it up
No, it
there?
Is.
Whose hole is that big? Whose front hole is that big?
That's stupid. That's stupid. It's not like putting a
no, it is
our,
real. Look it up. I
Israel.
Just saw it.
Now we're back to
now
Israel.
We're back to
Israel. It always comes back to the Jews.
Jump
what is another weird thing that you've done that is, you know what I used to remember is what? Your amazing racist stuff.
Yeah.
That stuff has huge clicks online.
Yeah.
But you did that
oh, New
like
York Post?
Like a decade ago?
More. It was
well,
a National Lampoon.
No,
there
but
it is.
New
no.
York
Look at this.
Post. It's
Man,
New York.
So there's that man gets jump rope stuck in bladder after shoving it into his penis. Let's oh. read the story.
Is it New York Post?
Read the story. No, it's real.
No, it's real.
A 79-year-old
Japanese man
Japanese
managed to get
a 90-inch jump rope stuck in his bladder after allegedly shoving the rope into his penis. Now, why would allegedly, like it's in his bladder. So he just, they're saying he allegedly shoved it in. He might have been able to suck it in.
Because it's, right. Or he'd be like, a friend did it. I didn't do it. How dare you? I'm suing you.
The man was forced to seek medical help, complaining that he was suffering from a condition called dysuria, which is difficult with urination.
Yeah,
difficulty
I can see. That's his issue? Jump rope up your cock and you're like, hey, that's fine, but I'm having trouble peeing.
Good news and bad news. It's not the Syria or whatever it is. It's a jump rope.
Do you think it's related to the
medics
jump rope?
Unraveled the medical mystery.
Unraveled the medical mystery.
New York Post is great.
But what was I going to say? What was the, what is another weird, what is that?
The jump rope.
Well, there's the jump rope.
Got it
they
up
removed
there?
It. Yeah. That's so amazing.
He lost it all in there. It's like when your the band around your waist like gets caught in, or your like sweatshirt when
what?
You lose it.
Yeah,
you know the rope that comes out of your sweatshirt.
Oh, the tie rope.
And
yeah,
you lose it in there, and you're yeah. like, yeah.
Wait, how did he get the handles in there? Aren't there handles on a jump rope?
Not these.
Oh,
but I want to see the guy's dick hole.
Can you imagine if he pulls down his pants on a windy day? You're going to hear like that when you blow into the top of a bottle.
Yeah, yeah. I hear.
Yes. Yeah. Pull up your pants. So, what is the weirdest thing that you've done? Oh, did you get? We were talking about the amazing racist.
Yeah. Fun
that,
character.
That it was a fun character that
was,
you did like 11, 12 years ago.
Yeah, it was early, even longer. It was early YouTube. It was for National Lampoon's. They had a DVD. They called for Jeff Ross actually for the store. They wanted to do this sketchy kind of thing. They set it up as like, we found a box of terrible reality show pitches in an office in a studio. And so they just made up what the pitches were going to be. And one of them was this, The Amazing Racist. And I was like, good idea. Let's fucking go for it, though. Let's do like out there shit. And they couldn't get Jeff to do it. And so they called.
Jeff said no to that?
Yeah. Smart. Intelligent. His career's been fine. But he's like, who's the Jewiest guy at the Comedy Store? And my Duncan Trussell was like, it's Ari. And so then I was like, yeah, let's go nuts, though. Let's not just do this lighthearted thing. Let's go nuts and really try to make it look like it was early fake reality, and we made it look
but
like
was
real.
It, but I felt like in watching them, some of them were
all of them staged.
Everything.
It was early enough where no one knew how to look for anything fake. So we hired some like Mexicans on what's that site where you hire actors, whatever it is.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not on
West
that site,
or something
but
like that.
If you tell me the site,
yeah.
then I'll go.
Yeah, pay them off $50 and like pretend like you're immigrants and we went to a, we drove him. The idea was we're going to drive him to an INS building. We drove him to a library in Van Nuys. Yeah.
Well, you shattered me because I thought it was real.
I'm sorry.
I thought it was all real.
Yeah, there's a bunch of middle school boys who were like, what the f-? Still, like, millions of middle school boys.
I have the intelligence of a middle school boy. That's funny that that's fake. That's fake. The amazing, your racism was fake, but jamming a chocolate bar up Bobby Lee's ass
is real.
That's totally real. What are you going to say?
I looked up the largest penis hole.
This is my daughter. I'm so proud of her. She's always done her homework.
Google is such a wonderful place.
No, but she always does her homework, and she always does. Go ahead.
I don't know if I'm allowed to put it up. I sent it to them.
What
no, we're not allowed to put it up.
Why aren't you allowed to put it up?
We're not allowed to put it up. It's a picture.
Well, at least show me.
Just walk over and show them. It's pictures of the stretched urethra.
It's this guy, or do other people do it?
No, other people.
Is it like when people get gauges, like?
It's penis.
Oh.
Yeah.
No! Come on! No way! Oh! It's a line!
You know what? This is uncomfortable. Wow. Put your phone down. Guess who's back sponsoring us?
Guess who's back, back again. Dave is back.
Yes.
Tell your friends.
Dave is the banking app that can help you get up to $500 instantly with extra cash.
Mm-hmm, that's more money to fill your tank. You could buy a wedding gift. You could catch up on bills. You could buy holiday gifts because
which
it's the
I think should
season.
Have come first.
Yeah.
People are spending now more than ever. So this is when you need Dave.
Mm-hmm.
And Dave is here for you. There's no interest and no credit check needed.
Millions of people have already downloaded the Dave app to get the financial relief that they need with extra cash. So if you're in a pinch and need some extra help, download Dave and think of it as like a helping hand from future you.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give me a minute to think about that because that's I find confusing. Oh, so Dave. Download the Dave app from the App Store right now.
That's D-A-V-E. Sign up for extra cash account and get up to $500 instantly. For terms and conditions, go to dave.com/legal. Instant transfer fees apply. Banking provided by Evolve. Member FDIC.
Thank you, Howie. Thank you, Howie.
Oh, because future you will thank you. I get it.
That was future me. That wasn't me.
Yeah.
My daughter's showing dick
pics. Wow.
This is not good. She's never done this before.
You can stick a bunch of them and have a menorah. You can have eight of those guys and really celebrate Hanukkah, right?
A man-norah.
Somebody photoshopped that.
Yes. Wow. But I don't think you can keep them hard for 8 days. That would be a miracle.
You can't because you're too old. These young guys, man, they keep their boners. You know what I'm saying? You need some 25-year-olds.
You're supposed to use one. You have an extra one to light the other
one. Shamish. Yeah. Yeah, you'd have to, like, light it like this.
Oh my god!
Now I feel you've brought me down to your level. I felt like I'm going to talk to this
darkness,
kid.
Howie.
That animal. That okay? Are you finished with all your research?
I'm done.
Done for now. You'll be
for
looking
now,
this up
for
all
now.
Day.
For now.
So are you on the road now?
Yeah, I'm going on the road a bunch. Start my new tour.
What's it called?
I don't know. What I do is I let fans rename my tour. I was like, if you make a Photoshop for my tour, I will. By the gods of comedy, have to rename my tour that. So they've renamed it like the Hitler Gave Me Gonorrhea Tour. anything that makes me cringe or laugh. I'm like, hey guys, unfortunately, I've had to rename my tour, the Wrong Side of History Tour. And it's just me as Pol Pot, just like crushing baby skulls.
Oh, no.
Just like the worst things. Some of them are funny. The Deport Avenged Sevenfold Tour. If you make me laugh, I'll rename my tour. So right now.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Do we have to put a warning on this episode? I love you. You are so dark.
Yeah. And the internet is funnier than any comedian's ever been. It's all the power of mid-level people.
If you got an offer, let's say to be on ABC or anything like that, would you turn it down because you don't want to be stifled?
Yeah. I had to walk away from a TBS show once because they were like, it was supposed to be cool and interesting, and they just made it kind of corny. And I was like, guys, I'm not interested. And
wait, a sitcom?
No, like a. The idea was to like go through history and find out who like the bad parts of these great historical figures.
Right.
Gandhi wouldn't be jailed with black people for a while. Helen Keller thought Down's people should be put down. Yeah, and it's a way to like, have you, but they made it so corny that I'm like, nah. And they're like, what do you mean? We sold it. It's a show. And I'm like, yeah,
what
I'm not
network
interested.
For like
TBS. And I was like, I don't want to do it.
But
like,
you seem
do you,
like you're
you
really
do it.
You're like, a good actor.
Yeah, I'm pretty good sometimes.
No, but you are.
If it's a fun, interesting thing, then I'm down. I did a shit box movie, and I was so disillusioned with it.
What'd you do?
It was a movie, and I was like, this doesn't look like a good script. And they're like, so, you know, you audition sometimes for things, and I'm like, they're like, we want you to do it. And I'm like, it doesn't look like a good script, but Zach Galifianakis was in it, John Hamm was in it. I'm like, well, maybe I just don't know how movies are done. Maybe there's like some punching up stuff that happens on the set. But I got there, and it was like, no, this is not good. And I was part of a shitty project. And
what's
I,
it called?
I don't even want to say. I'm embarrassed to be a part of something shitty.
Can I say?
You can say it if you
so
want
Google,
to.
So Google Zach and John Hamm in movie with Ari Shaffir. Give me the name of that.
It was so lame and bad.
We're going to find it. You're making Jen work really hard right now. You don't want to just say the name. It's going to come up in a second.
I'm embarrassed by it. And I was like, play? I don't want to do lame. Just a small role. I got to
so
go to Atlanta
on
for a week.
Where,
it's not on me, but I was a part of something shitty, and I'm only part of shitty things. I'm only part of fun things.
You used to do a lot of commercials.
There's still a lot of commercials.
Do you still do commercials?
Yes, Between Two Ferns. I would have done that any day. That's a great thing.
No, that's not it.
No, John. You have to put
look
movie.
At these guys.
Movie.
Look at these dumb fuck guys trying to look up, trying to find out how Google works. You never did any research in libraries. You don't know anything. Yeah,
we're
going
to find it.
Keeping Up with the Joneses?
Yeah, that's the one.
I don't even remember that movie.
In 2016.
Good. Yeah.
Wow. You didn't like the process. Besides what it turned out to be.
If I could write on South Park, I would throw everything out the window. I would cancel my tour and I would go do that because that's a great thing.
Have you said that before? Maybe they'll hear it. Maybe this will get
maybe
out
maybe they'll
there.
Hear it. Guys, I will put everything on hold to go help you write. I'll get you guys coffee because you're making great shit. I want to be part of great shit. That's it. Not this dumb fuck Hollywood dumb stuff.
Why don't you do your own?
So, I do. Stand up.
Yeah,
the freest stuff in the world. Hollywood thinks stand up is a step down. It's not. It's a giant step above all this stuff.
I believe that.
Yeah.
I believe that.
I know.
You know, I'm one of the few people that didn't. COVID fucked me up really bad, but.
I bet.
I've always, you know, when I was on a show called St. Elsewhere, you know.
You were on St. Elsewhere. Damn.
Yeah. But they wanted me to quit comedy, and I wouldn't quit comedy, and they threatened to let me go if I didn't quit.
Why would they want you to quit?
Because they thought that what I was doing was, it's
yeah,
not
you were
outrageous.
The comedic relief on that show. You were like the lighthearted part of it.
Yeah, but that wasn't what? It. It was a serious dramatic show, and they said, you know, you're taking away from the integrity of the show because you're just this silly ass
what losers.
Guy with a glove on his head. And then they ended up, by the end of it, they wrote, I did the glove on the head in the show. But the point is that regardless of everything I've done, I've always maintained stand-up. Now I'm a little nervous because I like my other job, so I'm really afraid.
Like, yeah.
I don't have the wherewithal to go on a show and jam chocolate bars up a friend's ass.
It's Patrice said it really well. Once you owe them, then you owe somebody, and they're gonna come calling that debt. So yeah, an ABC show is like, this is bad news. This
but
is
if
like
if somebody
trouble.
Came, to, but what
you
if
don't have you don't have kids, right?
No, only
you
think, in heaven, couple in heaven. That's
do you
it.
Think? Do you want a family with kids?
I had a vasectomy.
Okay, so
you really did?
Yeah.
Why?
I forget to pull out sometimes. it's like real
thing. Because I was really going to ask, do you think it would be different if you had a family and kids?
Yeah, then I have to be beholden to something like, oh, I got to put food on the plate.
How old are you?
48.
When did you have a vasectomy?
Probably 4 or 5 years ago. 5 years ago, maybe.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
you
a
were
big...
just sick of pulling out.
You didn't want to wear condoms. You just yeah. That's your
brain. Is thinking about boys. We like blowing loads.
Yeah.
But at 44, you made a decision for your entire future that you don't want any offspring.
I didn't want it for so long that I'm like, what am I even doing anymore? I know who I am. You know, it wasn't like I was 20 where I'm like still changing. I'm like, this is set in my head. I am out. Plus, I think adoption is probably a good way if I did eventually change.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's an amazing commitment, I think.
Yeah, I'm out. I was like full, you know, I was just clear. I was sure. I was sure.
Does that hurt?
No. I was on stage that night.
No.
Yeah. 9
how
o'clock.
My friend told me that you actually can smell it. There's
you
like
smell a little barbecue. When they solder the fucking meat in there, you smell a little bit of barbecue.
So you sit on a like in stirrups and you have
they put you in stirrups like you're giving birth, but okay. like you know, not that.
Right.
It's quite the opposite.
Oh, I understand.
And then you just feel it like a pushing, you know, something's happening in there.
Do they slice and then they use a laser, right?
Yeah, the laser to solder both sides. So it's just like tube that was one and now it's, and they just have to like solder off the ends.
And you can
but
see
I
the
hear
smoke.
It doesn't work a lot. Like there's a lot of times where people get a vasectomy and then they're like, oh shit, how did I get someone pregnant?
My friend Steve Renazzisi, he's a comic, and he got a vasectomy. He had two kids.
Yeah.
And he goes
after?
He got it after. No, no, he got the vasectomy after two kids.
Oh,
like,
okay,
we're done.
All right.
And then he goes, the doctor says, you know, there's still a chance you could still get your wife pregnant. And he goes, doctor, if I get my wife pregnant after this, I'm coming back here and I'm murdering everybody in this office. This better be 100%.
So they burn it. You see the smoke. You smell your chestnuts roasting over an open fire. Yeah. And then within hours, you're on stage. There's no pain.
It felt like the feeling is you got punched in the dick 4 hours ago.
Right.
For two straight weeks. You're just a little bit like... Like it still lingers, you know?
Right.
Like you've recovered from it. So it feels
but
like.
Don't you have to put like an ice pack on it?
Yeah.
So you're standing on stage with an ice pack on your dick?
No, just not right then. Just get off. And you have to tell your idiot friends, like, no ball punches today. It's going to hurt way worse.
Is that an issue with you and your friends?
And then I was. And then I was going to go to Burning Man that year. And then I was still leaking pus out of my balls. And the doctor was like, wait.
If I hear that same story again, if I had a buck for every time I had the pus leaking out of their balls, what are you talking about?
Yeah, the doctor was like, you can't go. I'm like, you told me 2 weeks. And he goes, I said a minimum of 2 weeks. I was like, well, what if I go? He goes, you'll get sand in your dick. And
I'm get sand in your dick?
Yeah, in this pussy hole. And I'm like, and then what? He goes, then you'll get an infected dick. And I go, and then what? He goes, you shouldn't have to ask that question. You don't want an infected dick. I don't know what to tell you.
Did he tell you not to put jump ropes in there?
I didn't know there was a possibility back then.
Wait, I
wasted
understand.
My life.
I don't understand. Why can't you go to Burning Man, but you're allowed to go on stage?
There's sand everywhere.
But you're wearing pants.
Not in Burning Man.
You'll get dirty. Have you been?
No, I have friends and seen pictures.
Yeah, you will get dirty. It's just the desert.
Do you do that? So you take drugs?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Like escaping reality.
Do you? What's your drug of choice?
I mean, weed's not even a drug anymore. I'm a mushroom guy. Getting into acid a little bit lately. Mm-hmm. Went to see Roger Waters on acid.
Wow.
Yeah. Blew my mind.
Wow, Roger.
Met him on acid.
Is he trying to have a conversation with him. Is he an anti-Semite?
No.
Because that's also a rumor. Is that a rumor
It's a narrative that gets going. He's anti-suffering. That's
okay.
It. He sees some suffering and he's like, that seems wrong.
Right.
He's not anti-Semite.
My favorite album of all time is Dark Side of the Moon.
It's so good.
But so you take acid now. When was the first time you took acid?
I'd taken it here. I took it in Edinburgh once.
You took it here?
I took it here or there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you stoned now?
No. I do get people asking if I'm high when I'm not high, usually. I get right when I'm high, and then I'm fine and normal. I took some ayahuasca in the jungle. That was like another level of it. But
For mental health reasons?
Just to do, for your, to clean out your insides.
Yeah, did it work?
Yeah.
Do you think this is all because
Theo Von told us it changed his life?
I can believe that. No one doesn't have really cathartic experiences on it.
So you take acid and...
Mostly I just go to concerts, have a good time, you know, enjoy your life.
So Roger Waters, you got to talk to him? What was that like?
First of all, I was bawling, crying next to some old lady in the stands, like openly weeping. And she's looking at me and I'm like, first a little embarrassed. And then I'm like, you fucking saw this guy in the 70s. You know what the fuck's happening. Shut up with your fucking judging eyes. Yeah, he's such an intense dude.
Wait, how'd you get to meet him?
Through Rogan. I shouldn't have.
Oh, I think I saw. Did you guys go out to dinner after or drinks?
Yeah, it was just like after party. And I showed up there. Rogan was like, we got to leave before the last song. And I was like, you can go fuck yourself. This is the best concert I've ever been to. I'm not leaving. And he goes, dude, you're on acid in a strange city. And I was like, Joe, I've been on heavy drugs in lots of places around the world. I'll be fine. I'll meet up with you. And if I don't, I don't. And I did. And then we're just all talking. Me and my friend Tony's girlfriend, also on acid, trying to keep it together. They're like showing like cell phones, like, look at this meme. And I'm like, and I told my friend Duncan, I was like, is this a video? And he's like, no. I'm like, fuck. I'm still fucking kicking. I went to the fucking airport at 5:30 in the morning. I'm looking at the departures gate, asking the guy, like, does this video keep flipping? And he's like, what video? And I'm like, fuck. It was good acid, dude. And I'm trying to hold together a conversation.
Have you ever had a bad trip?
No.
No.
No. Now, I've been, it's been a little too much. It was at Glastonbury. Everything was like too much for me. On like heavy mushrooms. Glastonbury is a music festival.
No, what does that mean? It's too much.
It was just too many people. I had to be alone. Mushrooms will look out for you. I can't say the same about acid, but mushrooms will take care of you. They'll hold you by the hand and they'll take care of you. There's too many people. Somebody recognized me. I was starting to trip and somebody goes, Ari Shaffir? Oh, can I take it? And then I'm trying to dance and I'm like, somebody's looking at me. I don't want them looking at me. I just want to be anonymous. I had to wander away from my group and couldn't find anywhere to
get
comfortable.
You're trying to be anonymous, but yet you're dancing alone.
I was with people.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was a 200,000 person festival.
Oh, I thought.
And I wandered away and I'm trying to find a place where I can just lay down and be alone with my thoughts. And then mushrooms just gave me a teepee somewhere. And I just like saw a little sign says, if you need to take a load off, come on in.
You found a teepee.
Yeah. And I just go into this teepee and there's all these blankets and pillows there. And I just lay in the darkness, listening to the music and the sound of people out there.
Do you believe that really happened, that you found a teepee with blankets?
Yeah, it happened. It happened.
Well, you also thought that Departure Gate was a video.
Yeah.
So how do you know the teepee and the blankets were real?
I mean, you maybe you're right.
And you believe it's the mushrooms.
You
the
wandered
mushrooms,
into someone's
mushrooms
car.
Mushrooms provided me. Yeah, maybe.
But it wasn't your teepee.
It was not my teepee, but there was a sign there. It said, it's here for you if you need it. And I did need it.
It
and
probably
I went
just said like bathrooms this way and you wandered into the bathroom.
I laid there for about an hour and a half till I got up.
Were there other people in the teepee?
Somebody eventually came in and was like, what the fuck? What is this place? And he laid down, but he was like, I was way in the back. And he was like, is anybody here? And I was just quiet. And he went away after like 10 minutes. And then eventually I got my wherewithal and I went back out to the festival. Met up with my friends.
That's a weird story.
It was so weird.
Is there anything that you won't try?
No, I'm a little scared of powder now because of fentanyl.
Yeah. You
you got to test your shit. Everybody test your shit. Don't not do drugs. Test your shit.
It's a good lesson.
Yeah, be
this
honest
is more of a
it.
PSA than a podcast. Yeah.
So PSA is don't not do drugs.
Don't be ridiculous. Yeah, I was getting fat. I was in Southeast Asia. I was getting fat. And somebody's like, it's Chang weight. It's Chang beer weight. And I'm like, shit, I got to stop drinking. She goes, no, I didn't say that. You got to switch to gin and tonics. You can't be drinking beer. Don't be ridiculous.
It's crazy. I feel like, do you feel
what do you
like,
do? How do you escape?
To be honest, during COVID, I was doing a lot of, I started with gummies.
Edibles, yeah.
Just gummies.
Yeah.
Yeah, and jujubes. No, there's no drug, no THC.
just sugar.
Just sugar. Yeah. Just gummies. The red gummies. No, I did that and I drank, and now I'm just totally sober. I just did it too much. I'm not good at it. I try to escape. I'm on medication for my own mental health.
Oh, another PSA. If you're on SSRIs, you got to be careful with psychedelics.
Right. So I would
talk to your doctor, though. Don't just not do them. Ask your doctor if it's okay. I will tell you, you can't get addicted to mushrooms. They don't work the next day.
Are you selling?
I'll find you some mushrooms if you want some.
I don't, but I respect that you do them and that you'll find me mushrooms. I do. But and I think we've learned a lot. Have we learned anything?
I wanted to ask.
The urethra opens up to the size of a dime.
No, do you think that you want to party and experience things more and do drugs and everything because of your experience when you were younger, like not really being able to do any of this stuff?
Maybe. It's like catching up and then blowing past the line I would have been. The people I know who smoked weed with their parents are not potheads. They're casual.
Right, but like she says, how old were you when you came to this epiphany?
23. I lost my virginity at 23.
Okay.
And then by 26, I was a whore because it was like, you get it later. You just need it all the time. Just same with bacon. I can't not take bacon now. I didn't grow up with it.
Right. So, but half your life, you were, kept away from absolutely everything. Everything that tastes good, everything that feels good, everything that's comfortable, even lights. You weren't allowed to turn on the fucking lights.
Yeah.
So then at 23, you decide, fuck it, I'm getting out of here. And I feel like what she's saying is that you're,
lost time.
You are doubly indulging in life.
Yeah.
Do you find you still do that or do you find you're settling down?
I'm not, I mean, also when you're a comic, you know this, there's alcoholics around you. There's comedians who are losing their lives to drugs every day. So I'm not on the higher percentile of my friends. They're bigger drinkers than I am. I have bigger potheads than I am. Bigger, drug users in general. I like it, but I'm in a world where you get free drinks every night.
Are you still friends with the people who are, aside from family members, who were in the yeshiva with you?
One. He's the one who corrected me about he's corrected a few things, but yeah, one that I'm still friends with.
And how is that? What is that like?
Yin and yang. Yeah, he's like, you'll be back. You'll be back. And then eventually he stopped saying it. But the funny thing is I still know all the laws, so I use it against him. You know, I try to like reinterpret the laws for my own purposes.
Oh, that's funny.
You know, like I said, like if someone's coming to steal from you, you're allowed to defend your property.
Right.
Up to the point of killing them to defend your property. You can do it. Like if somebody's breaking in here, you're like, stop. And if they won't stop, you can like use force in Judaism.
But if they come to your property, you can't kill them?
If they just come into your property and not steal anything, no.
No, but if they're coming in and they got you at gunpoint, are you allowed to shoot
them? And if someone's trying to kill your daughter, yeah, absolutely, you can shoot them.
Okay.
But I was like, if they're coming to steal your goods and your money, you can also shoot them. I'm like, well, a baby costs a lot of money. So if you get somebody pregnant, you can kill that thing to protect your money. And they're like, that's not the law. And I'm like, I don't know, man. It's my interpretation of it.
That is really funny. Yeah. You know, you should do a show. You remember My Dinner with Andre? It's kind of old. But you should sit down. I think the next step is you sit down with a theologian, you know, who really believes it and have these arguments.
Have these heretical arguments with them.
Don't you think so?
Yeah,
don't
maybe.
You think you can make it really funny? He wouldn't, the other side would not be funny, but I think you can break that. That's what I saw. You broke down every stereotypical teaching that is taught.
Yeah, I had to break down from like the laws, cultural, racial, and just like customs. And I try to like spread them out evenly.
Well, I just want to say to you, and I'm glad you showed up. I want
this
to say congratulations and
thanks.
Mazel tov.
Thank you.
On the success. the only disappointing thing was that you think you've reached the pinnacle, which I don't think you have. And I think this is the start of even something. I mean, you've been around for a while, a long time. I've been aware of you, but this is the brightest light I've ever seen. And I hope it's just the beginning of things to come. You're very brave and smart. And you're a trailblazer, not, you know, and a trendsetter. So
thanks, Mandelbaum.
Thank you. I didn't shorten my name. I did. My name is actually shortened.
Isn't it Almond? Isn't Mandel Almond?
In Hebrew.
No.
Isn't it? Do you speak Hebrew?
I did. I don't remember.
Just say low.
Low.
No, in Hebrew. Anyway, do you want to, where do they go? The Ari Shaffer?
Go to youtube.com/AriShaffir. You just get it on there. If you want to kick some back, so help me do more of these things in the future, I would definitely appreciate it. But if you want to just enjoy it.
That's the thing that made me laugh too. People on there just said, this is the best show I've ever saw in my life. I sat with my family. I watched it. I've watched it twice. I called my kids in. I've watched it. Here's a dollar.
I'll take a dollar. If you don't got anything, I'll take a dollar. If you want to give me a dollar, it's a come on, man. How poor are you? If you want to give me 50, even better. But just throw a little back and I can keep making this shit.
It's worth the watch. Okay. So go to that or go to arisharfer.com, shafir.com, and you'll get all these dates because you got to go see him live.
Dallas, Pittsburgh, Salt Lake, San Jose, Vancouver, Seattle. I'm going everywhere. The wrong side of history tour. It's a Hitler gave me gonorrhea tour coming at you.
Is the list over?
I think so. I don't remember all of them.
Okay, so then end the show. That was great. Thank you. That's my son, Alfred. The guy with the beard. Not Nazi. Nazi's not my son. I'm not that old.